Hello and welcome to the Final Siren podcast. I'm your host, Peter Williams, and I'm here once again with AFL draft editor Michael Alvaro. Today and in the coming weeks leading up to the AFL draft, we're going to have some special episodes for you. Our pocket podcast series, which start today, we're going to take a look at the key forwards, and then we're going to take a look at other positional players, I guess, throughout the series over the next few weeks. So we're going to take a look at key defenders, midfielders, and then work our way basically around the field. Just discussing some of the players, their strengths, improvements, maybe some comparisons. So if you're in that, draft range to get them, then it's going to be really handy for you. So Michael, welcome on board, and looking forward to getting stuck into it.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm also looking forward, after a week away, to get back into the content, and pretty close to draft time now, so it's all wrapping up and getting exciting.
Absolutely. So obviously we're discussing the key forwards today. We're going to keep it short and sharp, but just run through some of the players that are in draft contention, those that have combine invites. Now, when we're talking key forwards, you can't really go much further than, I guess it's gone from potential to really likely number one pick in Aaron Cadman from the GWV Rebels, Vic Country. Obviously, 194 centimetre player, 88 kilos. Like, he's kicked 34 goals in the 12 NAB League games. Rookie me, central medalist, of course. So, made All-Australian and, of course, the NAB League Team of the Year. So, he's got quite the resume. Give us a bit of a rundown into him and, I guess, his season.
Yeah, I think you've said it all, really. He, as you said, 34 goals in 12 games in the NAB League for GWV. He was a match winner and a real leader in that side. Obviously, as a spearhead, there's a lot of responsibility that falls on you, and he took it up with aplomb. And I think his rate of development as a key forward's been pretty extraordinary, because last year we saw him enter the NAB League as a winger. He was sort of rangy and maybe a bit raw, but just the way he filled out and took on that new role this year was fantastic. And obviously he's accelerated into top 10 range, then top 5, and now he looks like being top of the tree come draft time, which is, remarkable to think, considering, I guess, where he's come from and who he might beat out to those honours. So the way he won games off his own boot this year, the clean hands, the long kick, everything he does, the follow-up work at ground level is exceptional and what you want out of a key forward prospect. So, yeah, he's the best at the top of the tree, and I think that's quite unanimous.
Yeah, and I think realistically there's been a few that have been discussed for that sort of pick one position, but the whole trade that sort of blew open the trade period, really, obviously Jason Horne-Francis, the number one pick from last year, has now gone to Port Adelaide. North managed to acquire 2 and 3 in that trade. GWS managed to get up to the one. So there's been quite a few shuffles at the top end, which I think is quite rare, really. You've gone from North, West Coast, GWS, like sort of those kind of orders, and they've all shuffled around. Like, obviously, Port's lost some picks and things like that. It is quite rare, but we are where we are now. So do you sort of see Cadman as that, you know, that's who they're going to go for, basically?
Yeah, I think it's pretty nailed on now. Like I've said earlier, that whoever has pick one would be silly not to bid on Ashcroft. I maintain that. But I guess the appeal for Cadman to GWS, who hold pick one, is that sort of the lack of go-home factor. He's a tradie who works in Melbourne from the country and is committed to, I guess, moving into state, and he's fine with that. And that appeals to a club like GWS, who have obviously lost Tim Taranto, Jacob Hopper, Bobby Hill, just in this trade period. So I see him as being that pick one. He gets the extra money with the grant of having those honours. So that's another tick, and probably why they'd not opt to bid on Will Ashcroft, who I believe, and who probably many recruiters as well, believe to be the best player in the country.
And before we move on to the next one, obviously he's been compared similar to, say, Jeremy Cameron type, that's inside 50, can do a lot of damage. Obviously they lost Cameron to Geelong, who's now won a flag. Is that a fair assessment? How do you sort of see him comparing to him?
Yeah, I don't mind it at all. I think some might compare him to maybe a Charlie Curnow as well, given his athleticism, the way he can, again, follow up and go up the ground and then mark inside 50. So a bit of both players in him. Obviously, the left foot and maybe the GWS link has him sort of tied to Jeremy Cameron there. But we saw Cameron play midfield this year. Cadman has as well. The way he sort of can carry through the middle of the ground is pretty impressive for a guy his size. So, yeah, I think the comparisons there are quite justified.
Absolutely. So obviously that's the top of the tree. We move to the next key forward in line, which is, of course, Oakley Chargers Matthew Jefferson. Now, his best game, of course, came with the 7 goals against WA. He's kicked 13 from 6 games in the NAB League. You know, he's basically been able to do it predominantly as a mark, set shot, goal type player. 9.5 disposals, 6.5 marks. He's one of those typical, traditional, if you like, forwards, isn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. So usually stationed inside forward 50. I think he has the mobility and even versatility to roam further up the ground, so play on a wing or even as an intercept marker down back. But he hasn't really had to show that this year, given how strong he is inside 50. So, you know, comparing him to someone like Cadman, he has half the disposals but more marks. So that is, as you say, the kind of player he is. And in terms of scoreboard impact, I think he and Cadman, both have the same ability to kick bags. Jefferson, like Cadman, probably a bit inaccurate in his set shot routine and might not be a technical thing, but it's just a matter of getting, I guess, his thoughts together and his routine right when going for those shots on goal. But when both players are on, they're exceptional. They're game winners, and we saw that with those 7 goals that you mentioned against Western Australia. One of the best quarters of underage football you'll see. If you haven't watched it, you're living under a rock. I highly recommend that if your club's in the range or in the market for a key forward, that you go back and watch that game in particular. And some of his games for Wesley College as well at APS level were fantastic, kicking big bags, 4 or 5 goals. Loves the delivery well, but can also make it work with his mobility. So the next best, I think, clearly.
Yeah, and then arguably, or in my opinion, the next best, again, sort of that real third spot that he's locked down, Isaac Keeler out of North Adelaide in South Australia. Obviously, he's an Adelaide NGA. A few years ago, before they changed the rules, the Crows would have been, you know, rubbing their hands together, really excited to get him. They still could if they wanted to. If they wanted to pounce, they might have to go a little earlier than what you'd expect here, but he's got that potential. He's kicked 19 goals in the 15 Sandful under-18s matches, so he's able to hit the scoreboard. 18 disposals, 3.3 clearances, 4.2 marks, and of course, he's become just as fluent, if you like, through the ruck at that level. He's able to compete in the ruck. He's that athlete, maybe a future real potential type. So give us a rundown into him and why he's sort of in that third spot.
Yeah, I think his point of difference compared to the first two is that ruck work. So he's a few centimetres taller than Jefferson and Cadman at 198 and probably still growing as well. He's just a real pure athlete and looks like such a natural footballer. I think on pure talent, he's definitely a first rounder. It's whether, I guess, some of the other aspects of his game hold up and maybe that sort of competitive, contested side and the consistency. But as a ruck forward, he's as exciting as they come. He can do it aerially. He's really good at ground level as well. Obviously, 4.2 marks per game is the usual stuff you want. And then the added bonus of being able to ruck is really handy and I think suits the modern game with those forwards who can give a chop out in that department. So obviously, Adelaide would be pretty disappointed not to get him. But as you say, could still get him around that sort of 20 mark, and I think that would be definitely worth it for a guy of his talent.
And moving from the north to the west of Adelaide, a couple of West Adelaide talls in Harry Lemmy and Tom Scully, they're the other two that have national combine invites, both highly touted at the start of the year, particularly Lemmy, who was even last year, considering what he did, you know, all-star game and through his bottom age year, playing seniors from the get-go. This year, he was touted as a real potentially top fiver, but certainly first rounder, and they sort of just drifted both of them. So give us a rundown, I guess, as to why and potentially what they offer to a club.
Yeah, well, to put it simply, Lemmy played under-19 champs last year as a bottom major. He got dropped this year for the 18. So goes to show, I guess, the sort of slide he's had. I think it's just been confidence for the most part. he played at high levels of football, so league and reserves for West Adelaide, and that's always a test coming into the season. As an 18-year-old, he obviously got a bit of experience there last year, but it's hard yards, and he sort of struggled a bit for form and consistency, and injuries and COVID didn't really help that. So he definitely has the talent to be a top 40 kind of player and could potentially be a massive steal towards the back end of the draft. And you look at Tom Scully, he's one that's just got high potential. He's a soccer convert. So, he's over 200 centimetres. Again, probably a mark and goal kind of forward and has a lot of room to develop. He's very sort of raw and skinny and can work on that contested marking, but has the reach over pretty much any defender. It's just whether he can, show, I guess, the consistency of goal kicking that he was at under-18s level and convert that against bigger bodies and more, I guess, guerrilla-type defenders.
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, they're the national combine invites, if you like. There's a couple of state combine, or certainly a couple of combine invites post that. Jovan Petrick and Ziggy Toledo as well, like Western Jets, Dandenong Stingrays. They've sort of come on a fair bit this year. Obviously, with Petrick, he's sort of been a really consistent forward, if you like, for Western, where Toledo didn't quite squeeze into that country squad, but he's been playing pretty consistently for Dandenong, and he hits the scoreboard regularly.
Yeah, well, Jovan Petrich, your boy, of course, has been a good 1-2 punch with Logan Morris in the Jets forward line, and he earned Metro honours for that and can also ruck. So that's a handy little point for him. But yeah, hits the scoreboard pretty consistently and he's decently reliable inside 50. Toledo's one, I think, who's attracted a lot of interest towards the back end of the year, is a bit of an unknown given the injuries he had and he wasn't able to, I guess, push his name forward for country selection, as you mentioned there. So, his performances towards, the finals and whatnot for Dandenong were really promising. And having grown to about 195 centimetres, he's sort of reaching that key position height and has a bit about him in the sense that he can mark, but has a bit of zip off the lead and follows up well. So that's a bit of a theme for a lot of the guys here, and he's one who earned that draft combine invite and might be a shot.
Yeah, that's the combine invites that aren't attached to clubs. Now, there's a few that are, a couple of Dockers and a Hawk. Do you want to give us a bit of a rundown quickly, those three?
Yeah, I mean, Freo fans probably won't be happy about us highlighting them, but Josh Draper and Jasper Scaife, they're both tied as NGA talents to the Dockers there. And Draper's a super athlete. I think that's the most outstanding thing about him. He's got a lot of potential, a basketball convert, so played pretty high levels there and I guess had the decision to make between the two sports. He chose to pursue football, I guess, in his top age season. And he's going good guns after an injury this year. He sort of showed a bit of form up either end for Peel Thunder, obviously the eventual premiers. And Jasper Scaife from West Perth has a couple of tricks to him. I know we've seen him sort of mark up on 50 and go back and sink pretty long set shots. So that's quite impressive. And the last one, Jerome Lawrence, of course, for Hawthorn. They miss out on a guy like Ed Allen, but have Jerome Lawrence eligible as a father-son. And for Oakley, he sort of popped up out of nowhere, I guess, this year and showed a bit as that, again, mobile, tall forward who can kick goals, but really needs that good delivery and has a lot of development left in him. So they may all be in consideration towards the later end of the draft. And I think all of those clubs will definitely have a pretty close look at him.
Absolutely. So that pretty much wraps up our episode on this Pocket Podcast series of The Final Siren. That was just the key forwards. We're going to be back, of course, with the key defenders in the next episode. But make sure you're checking out our website at central.rookieme.com/AFL, where you can find all those profiles and much, much more. Our annual AFL draft guide's almost out. Just stay tuned across our socials for that. Of course, our socials at Rookie Me Central. That's Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. There's some pretty cool content going up across the board, but certainly on our YouTube channel, there's player highlights and, of course, past and future Final Siren episodes, which hopefully you enjoy watching. If you do, make sure you tune in next week. I've been your host, Peter Williams. Michael, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
That wraps up our Final Siren podcast edition for another week. Hopefully you enjoyed. We'll catch you again next time.